we're wrapping up our series called Divine Direction, and I've been praying throughout the week just that in this series and in this sermon, all right, I mean, I was going to say something really serious and powerful, but the moment's gone. I really have been praying this week that in this moment, in as we wrap up Divine Direction, that God would really begin to stir something of a faith and inspire us, because we've been talking about decision making, we've been talking about wisdom, we've been talking about new direction. But the reality is that we can't get to a new direction unless we leave a place of comfort. You know what I'm saying? Now, we can't get to a new place unless we leave old path behind. We can't get to the destiny that God has for us unless we leave the old behind. And I honestly believe that in this moment, God is going to speak to people to start something new. He'll give new direction, new ideas too, and it may be something like, you know, starting a growth group or starting a business or getting out of debt, or there's a relationship in our life that's been dead or wounded, and God is going to call us to reinvest in that relationship with new passion and new energy. Could be you're going to start tithing or whatever it is. God's going to cause us and stir something in us to something new, and we're going to need faith to do it. And so my prayer for this week has been that God would just stir and create that faith in us, that inspiration, so that we can take that step. Because the challenge is this: for most people, the majority of people across the board, it's the start that stops them. It's just simply that first step. It's the start. We think about, you know, I've got this burden on my heart, I've got this dream that I have or something out there, but I don't know how to get there, and so I don't even start. It's the start that stops so many different people. And you know, we've all heard of different examples and testimonies of, you know, the person that was a dishwasher making minimum wage, and now they're running a company with 600 employees or something like that. And we're like, wow, that's fantastic, that's great. I'd love to do something like that, but I don't know how to get there. And so it's the start that stops them. We've heard testimonies of people that have lost 60 pounds in 6 weeks, and are like, wow, that's phenomenal. I'd love to do that, but I don't know how to get there, and so it's the start that stops them. But write this in your notes if you're taking notes, that you will never, ever, ever finish something that you don't start. You will never finish something that you don't start. For most people, it's the start that stops them. And so we're wrapping up this series, Divine Direction, and my prayer for each of us is that we would have the faith to start the thing that God has placed upon our hearts to start. In order to get there, we're going to look at the life of Nehemiah. If you haven't read the book, it's a phenomenal book. Let me give you a little bit of context. Nehemiah, the story takes place, if you just know the history of Israel, God had met with his people and said, you've got two paths, you've got two choices. One option, one path is to obey me. I've got my laws and my decrees and the commands, and if you obey these things, then you'll prosper, and there will be abundance, and there will be blessing like you can't even imagine if you take that path. But if you take the other path and you choose to disregard what I say and you rebel against me and you worship other gods and other idols and you sacrifice your kids in fire and all of the abominable things that people in other cultures were doing at that time, if you follow that path, then you'll not have blessing. In fact, you'll have the opposite. Everything that you do will wither and nothing will turn out right. And instead of blessing and prosperity, you'll have the opposite of that, because I'll remove my hand of blessing from you. And what we know from history, from scripture, is that the people of Israel did not choose the path of obedience and blessing. They chose the path of worshiping other gods and rebelling against God. And so God says, essentially, okay, have it your way. You want to try this path? Go ahead and see how it goes for you. And years went by with that path, and eventually the Babylonians came, and they conquered the people. They destroyed the city of Jerusalem. They took all of the people of Israel captive to Babylon. And we pick up in Nehemiah, 140 years after the temple, the walls had all been destroyed, 140 years after that, we see Nehemiah. And Nehemiah hears a report about all that's happened and the condition of Jerusalem and the temple and the walls, and his heart breaks for the people, and he weeps and he mourns. and he fasts because God has placed a divine burden on Nehemiah to do something. He places a burden on him. And I love that phrase, divine burden, because there will be seasons and times when God places something so specifically on your heart where you see an injustice or you see a problem or something that's wrong and you say, that's not okay. I have to do something about this. Several years ago, I was taking about twice a year teams from our church down to Rancho de Sus Niños. It's an orphanage just outside of Tijuana, Mexico. And one year brought Tracy Fletcher with me. And Tracy reluctantly decided to go to this orphanage with us. And as soon as he got there, his heart was broken for these kids. He went back the next time that we took a trip, and then he was so burdened by what he saw down in that area and by the orphanage that we weren't going enough for Tracy. And so Tracy started going once a month back and forth to Rancho de Sus Niños just by himself. And that wasn't enough. And so he started taking his family back and forth almost every weekend. And then they bought a trailer and they started moving that back and forth. And then they left the trailer down there and they started going every single week. And then they bought land down there so they could stay down there as much as possible, because his heart was burdened and they saw something that was wrong with the system. The orphanage was doing a great job of caring for the kids, but as soon as they graduated, they turned 18 and they left, they went immediately back to the cycles of destruction that they were rescued from. And Tracy and Linda saw that and they said, that's not right, but we can do something about it. We can't help everybody, but we can help somebody. And so what they've started doing is they've started reaching out to these young ladies that are exiting the system and giving them another path, another chance to of a different way of life and escaping that cycle of destruction and despair. And they were burdened. God gave them a divine burden, and they did something about it. And that's exactly where Nehemiah was. God placed a divine burden on him, and he did something about it. Listen to this. If you're taking notes, this is so important, that your burden often reveals God's direction in your life. Though we're talking about divine direction, God, what do I do? I'm at a fork in the road. There's an impasse here. What do I do? Your burden, what God places on your heart, you see something that's not right. I've got to do something about it. Your burden often reveals God's direction. You may have struggled with pornography for years and you battled and you saw how it damaged your own, your relationships. You saw how it affected your marriage or important relationships, what it did to your own mind and the shame that you felt and the despair that you felt, but you battled and you got counseling, you got accountability, you learned some tools and you battled through it and you came through on the other side and you say, I don't ever want somebody else to struggle like I did. I don't want anybody else's relationships to be impacted like mine were. And I may not be able to help everybody, but I can do something for a handful of people. And God places a burden on your heart. Maybe for you, you hear about the foster care crisis that just in LA County alone, you hear that there's over 30,000 kids that are abused and neglected within the foster care system. You hear that half of them will end up being unemployed, a third of them will end up homeless, and a fifth of them will end up in jail 2 years after they exit the foster care system. And you say, you know, something's broken here. This isn't right. I can't help all of the foster kids, but I can help one of them. And God places a divine burden on your heart, and your burden shows you the direction that God has for your life. See, your burden, that thing that God puts on your life, oftentimes when we're trying to make a decision, that's what reveals God's direction. This is what we see in Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 5 through 9. If you've got your Bibles, we can open there. I'm going to read through it from my Bible, but it'll be on the screen behind me. Nehemiah 1, 5 through 9. So Nehemiah just hears about the condition of Jerusalem. He's brokenhearted. God's given him a divine burden. He weeps, he mourns, he fasts, and then this is what he prays. He says, O Lord God of heaven, the great and awesome God, who keeps his covenant of love with those who love him and obey his commands, let your ear be attentive and your eyes open to hear the prayer your servant is praying before you day and night for your servants, the people of Israel. I confess the sins we Israelites, including myself and my father's house, have committed against you. We've acted very wickedly toward you. We've not obeyed the commands, decrees, and laws you gave your servant Moses. Remember the instruction you gave your servant Moses, saying, if you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the nations. But if you return to me and obey my commands, then even if you're exiled, people are at the farthest horizon, I will gather there from them, from there, and bring them to the place I've chosen as a dwelling for my name." And so Nehemiah prays this prayer, and he's got this divine burden to help the people of Israel to rebuild the wall. There's only one problem, and that's Nehemiah is a cupbearer. Now, if you don't know, a cupbearer is exactly what the name implies. He would take a cup, he would fill it with wine, he would drink a little bit of it, he would take it to the king, which may sound like a pretty sweet job to some of you. But Nehemiah, the reason why his job existed was because people would often try to poison the king through his wine supply. And so if Nehemiah died, the king would know, hey, don't drink that wine. And so that's Nehemiah's position. Now, if you notice, there's nothing about his position that has any credit, brings anything to the table to rebuild this wall. You've got Nehemiah, he's a cupbearer. He's not a military general. He's not a general contractor. He's not a builder or anything like that. He's just a cupbearer. His whole job is to get a cup, fill it with wine, bring it to the king. Grab a cup, fill it up, drink a little bit, bring it to the king. That's his whole job. And yet he's got this divine burden, which he's completely unqualified to accomplish, to do something that nobody else has been able to do in 140 years. God puts this divine burden on Nehemiah's heart, and he begins to take step after step after step. And so let me ask you a question. When God puts a divine burden on your heart, when he places something, how do you move forward? When God gives you direction, when he gives you insight into something, how do you move forward with that? You want to start a growth group? You want to start a business? You want to get out of debt? You want to be the spiritual leader for your family? You want to grow in your faith? How do you move forward with the things that God has called you to do? Let me just give you a couple of very simple thoughts. The first one is this, if you're taking notes. You've got a burden. You want to move forward. Number one, you start small. You start small. Zechariah chapter 4, verse 10 says this. He says, "Do not despise these small beginnings, for the Lord," what? Say that word with me. "The Lord rejoices." One more time. "The Lord rejoices to see the work begin." Don't despise these small beginnings, for the Lord rejoices to see the work begin. I've got a couple pictures for you of my kids. One on the left is Evie. The one on the right is Bear. If you're a parent, you had kids, you remember the sequence, right? You've got a little baby, and they don't do anything except for sleep and poop and eat and cry, and that's essentially their existence, right? But we love them, and they do little things like gurgle, and you're like, oh my gosh, I gotta post that. Right, and then the sequence goes, they're laying there, and then they start to flip over on their belly or on their back, and it's the greatest thing. And then they start to army crawl, and you're posting it on Facebook, you're calling mom up, you're like, you'll never believe, they're beginning to crawl. And then the one on the right, this is Bear, he's just started to be able to pick himself up on the couch, and you know, they do like that little scoot thing when they're learning to walk, and then pretty soon that's Evie, she's just learning to walk by holding a hand, and there's this sequence, and I never once looked at my kids, we were like, so what, you're learning to walk, can you run a marathon? Like, you never say that, because they would walk, they would fall, they'd get up, walk, and they would fall, and every little step, you know what mom and dad are doing? They're rejoicing. Oh my gosh, I can't believe it. You just took a step. This is the most amazing. And I really believe that your heavenly Father, that when you just take a small step forward, he's looking at you and saying, did you see what Mike just did? Like, he just, can you believe that? Can you see what Sue did? He's like getting all the angels around him. Like, did you see what Sue did? That was amazing. And I honestly believe that our little simple acts of obedience, even when we stumble and we get back up, our Heavenly Father is rejoicing when we take small steps. Rejoices. And so the question is, how do we move forward when God puts a burden or a direction in our life? How do we move forward? We look at Nehemiah and we see in Nehemiah chapter 6, nobody been able to do this 140 years. God puts a burden on a cupbearer. And in 52 days, we see in Nehemiah chapter 6, he finishes building the wall. Amazing, incredible feat. And we see that and we go from the burden to the fulfillment of the burden. And we think, wow, that's amazing, and it is. But what we don't realize is all of the tiny steps that Nehemiah had to take to being able to accomplish building the wall in 52 days. So Nehemiah chapter 6, it's finished in 52 days. But if you just take a little step back, what's happening? The people are ready to give up. And so Nehemiah speaks life and vision and hope into them. Said, guys, we're almost done. We need to keep going. We've got this. Get back on the wall. Let's keep on working. And honestly, I feel like for so many people, when God places something on our heart, gives us a vision or a passion or a burden, we stop with the discouragement or we stop with the opposition and we get so bummed out or so discouraged that we just can't keep going. But Nehemiah, he rallies the people and he speaks life and vision into them. And so it's done in 52 days. You take a step back. He's speaking life. We've got to finish this. You take a step back. He's teaching and training the people how to continue to build the wall with a tool in one hand and a weapon in the other hand because they're always under threat of military invasion. And so he's teaching them that. You take a step back. He's speaking life and vision again into them. You take a step back. Somebody had to have the courage to lay the first stone. You take a step back and Nehemiah is exploring the wall by himself, going around, strategizing, how are we going to do this? What's going to go here? What family should I put over this section of the wall? You take a step back. He's meeting with the family leaders of the people of Israel. You take a step back. He's taking a journey of 850 miles from Babylon to Jerusalem. You take a step back. He's praying. He's fasting. He's talking to the king. He's getting permission. He's packing his bags. All of these little step by step by step by step, all leads to the fulfillment of the vision to rebuild the wall. Vincent van Gogh said this, probably not a great guy for us to emulate our lives after, but he did say this. He said, great things are done by a series of small things brought together. How do you move forward with the burden and the vision that God has given you? You start small. You take one small single step. The problem is that we love to have all of the details. Say, okay, God, I've got this burden, all right, what's it all going to look like? What's it all going to cost? And here's the reality is that you don't have to have the faith to finish. You just have to have the faith to take the first step. You don't have to have the faith to finish and see the whole thing through, just the faith to start. Not the 52 days, you just have to have the faith to lay the first stone. It's not the details. God will lead you in a direction, and your responsibility is just to take the first step. In my years as pastoring, I've heard all sorts of excuses as to why people can't take that first step. And usually it centers around, I'm too young, I don't have the resources, I'm too old, I've got my habits and I'm set in my way, I don't want to change things, I'm comfortable, or I don't have the time. It's one of those three things. And I just want to remind you that there is no excuse that you could possibly conjure up that would trump what God has spoken into your life. That God, if God has given you a burden for something, if God has called you to step out into something, there's no excuse that you can come up with that God would be like, oh, okay, I didn't think about that. There's no excuse. And the encouragement is not to allow the start to stop you from doing what God has spoken into your life. So God will lead you to a direction, to a decision, and you just simply start small. And then number two, if you're taking notes, how do we move forward with what God has spoken? We start small and then we take the next step. We just take the next step. Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 19 through 20 says this. It says, but when Sanballat the Horonite, Tobiah the Ammonite official, and Geshem the Arab heard about it, they mocked and ridiculed us. What is this you're doing, they asked. Are you rebelling against the king? And so Nehemiah has led the people. They've begun work. They've rallied together. They're moving forward. And what my mom talked about last week, and she did such a great job, is anytime we move forward in obedience, what can we expect? Opposition. We move forward. We take a step of faith. We're moving. We're taking steps. And all of a sudden, there's opposition. And this is what they're experiencing. Step by step, they're moving forward, and even in the midst of opposition, they're just step, step, and they encounter opposition, and moving forward, they're taking the next step. I want to share with you a little bit just how I'm applying this to my life in this season, and this requires me to be a little bit vulnerable, so I ask that you be gracious with me a little bit. I was meeting with my boss a while ago, and he was asking me about goals that I have, and I don't know if I've shared this with you before, but my goal this year is to get invited to the Spartan National Championship, and you've got a place at a certain level in a race, and so I've been training, and he looked at me and he said, "Justin, that's really great, but I want you to keep your eyes open for the more significant impact that all of your training is going to, the more significant way that your training can impact people's lives." And then he looked at me and he said, "Summarize for me in one sentence what your life's mission is." And I said, "Well, that's easy. My mission is to help people take their next step forward. I want to help people take their next step, because when I look around, people get stuck in their, not here, but when, just life. People get stuck in their finances. People get stuck in their faith. They don't know how to move forward. They get stuck in their fitness. They don't know how to get past these things. And I've got a passion. I want to help people take their next step forward." And so I'm telling him about this, and all of a sudden something clicks, and it's this idea that I've had in the back of my mind that's just been germinating. Don't laugh at me. This is vulnerable here, okay? I want to come up with a plan, a 12-week plan, where at the end of it, we race a Spartan race together. But for 12 weeks, I connect them with a certified nutritionist, and then I give them a six-day-a-week fitness schedule, and then twice a week we meet together. One day a week we practice the obstacle course, different elements, and then the second one is just for conditioning. And at the end of the 12 weeks, we take people that are just used to sitting on the couch and they run their first Spartan obstacle training race. And all of this to say is, God has put a burden on my heart to help people take their next step. And I don't know how this will play out. I have no idea how this will play out. I may be able to help a couple people, or God may use me to help hundreds of people to get off the couch and reactivate with their bodies, and through that be able to experience God in a new way. And so it starts small, and it takes a next step. And so that's my call right now, is I just have to take the next step. I don't know exactly all the steps to take, but I know I just step by step by step. So I don't know what yours is going to be, what next step you need to take. Maybe for you, it's getting out of debt. And you think, okay, well, how do I get out of debt? Well, maybe for you, you're just going to follow Dave Ramsey's step plan. And it's great. You just, step number one, you save $1,000 emergency fund. Why is that the first one? Well, you save $1,000. You don't have to pay on your credit card for any emergency that comes up. So, you know, that may be easy for some of you, difficult for others. And so if you don't have $1,000, you may have to side hustle a little bit. You may have to sell some things on eBay or Craigslist. You may have to stop drinking Starbucks and eating out at lunch, and you save $1,000. You take a step, and then next step is you start paying off credit cards. You need to take the smallest one and pay that off, and then snowball it into the next one and pay it off. And it's just step by step by step. Maybe for you, it's you feel stuck in your faith and you want to grow in your passion for Jesus. What do you do? Well, step one, you're here, so great job. That's awesome. Step number two, you download YouVersion Bible app. And step three, you start a Bible reading plan. Step four, you start reading it every day, and you set up a reminder on the app to remind you to read your Bible. And you join a growth group, and you start serving, and you start getting to know your neighbors and engaging them and praying for your coworkers. And just step by step by step, and you begin to move forward, and you've got momentum here. I love what St. Francis had to say. St. Francis of Assisi, he says this. He says, "Start doing what's necessary, then what's possible, and then suddenly you're doing the impossible." You see that? Just step by step by step. How do you move forward with what God has called you to do? You start small and you take the next step. And that's exactly what we see with Nehemiah. Nehemiah has this divine burden from God, and he begins to take steps, and he's got direction. He starts moving forward, and all of these steps lead to momentum, and pretty soon, Nehemiah chapter 6, the wall is done in 52 days, and you think, great, Nehemiah, you're done. You can go home. You can go on vacation. But it doesn't end there, because now Nehemiah's got the temple to rebuild, and then he's got the economy to rebuild, and then he's got to rebuild the people's passion for the one true God. It's just step by step. It's never done, but it's not about seeing the end result. It's about taking all of the steps by step that we need to get there. Remember, we don't need the faith to finish. We just need the faith to start. And then, man, you look back at that first step and see the power and the impact of just simply starting. You start small and you take the next step. Galatians chapter 6, 9 says this. It says, "Do not grow weary in doing good. For at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. You just take a step, and you take a step, and you walk in obedience, and you walk in obedience, and you keep moving forward, and you take a step, and then another step. Osceola McCarty was a great lady. She grew up in pre-civil rights, Hattiesburg, Mississippi. And you could imagine as an African-American woman in that time how maybe just a tiny bit about how difficult life was probably for her. She had a burden from a young age to help under-resourced kids be able to pay for college and get a college education. The problem was, and the irony of it, was that she had to drop out of school when she was in grade school. She had to drop out of school to get a job to help pay for her family's bills and take care of the family. And because of that day, without her education, without many opportunities, she became a washerwoman. She just did the laundry of the people of Hattiesburg, Mississippi. But because God had placed a burden on her heart to help provide an avenue for kids to go to college that couldn't afford it, she started saving her nickels and her dimes from a young age. And she just consistently, step by step, saving nickels and dimes. And as she became an adult, those nickels and dimes turned into whole dollars. And she would save dollar after dollar after dollar. And throughout her lifetime, she saved $150,000. Now, you would imagine that somebody that sacrificed so much, that didn't have a lot of opportunities, it would have been easy for her to say, wow, I've made it, I can retire, I can go on vacation, I can go shopping. But she didn't do any of that. She took her $150,000, went to the University of Southern Mississippi, and gave it all to them and says, I want to start a fund to help under-resourced kids go to college. You'd imagine that the story began to spread like wildfire. This $150,000 soon increased by $330,000 as people began to catch word of it, and 600 donors just began to give, and it increased, and the story spread like wildfire some more, and it came across the desk of Ted Turner. And Ted Turner said that if one woman could save her entire lifetime for $150,000 and then give it all away, I can give $1 billion. And so he gave $1 billion to help under-resourced kids make it through college. But it didn't stop there. President Clinton heard about it, and he had to meet Miss McCarty in person. And so he flew her up, this lady that had to drop out of school, was a washerwoman her own life, to meet her in person. And he gave her the second highest honor that he could give, the Citizens Presidential Award. But it didn't stop there. The UN honored Miss McCarty because of her lifestyle and because of her generosity, but it didn't stop there either. When the Olympics came through Atlanta in 1996, they asked Miss McCarty to carry the torch through part of Mississippi because, step by step, all that she had done. But it didn't stop there. She received over 300 awards from various organizations because of her sacrifice and lifestyle, step by step. And probably my favorite one is that this woman who had to drop out of school in grade school was given an honorary doctorate from Harvard University. All because of one small step, followed by many other steps, led to this massive impact through this one woman's life. You have no idea what one single step of obedience, one single step of faith, one single step of boldness. Now, looking back 40 years from now, 20 years, 10 years, 5 years, 1 year from now, that when you simply take a step of faith, that when God puts something on your heart and you take that first step, you have no idea the impact that can be made through that single step. My encouragement this morning is that you would not allow the start to stop you from doing what God has called you to do. He's given you direction. He's given you a burden. He's challenged you to start something. Simply start. Take a first step and then follow it by another step. I love the quote by Maria Robinson. She said this. She said, nobody can go back and start a new beginning, but anyone can start today and make a new ending. You start that by taking one simple step.